This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, discussing with Judy Dempsey of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, a senior scholar. She's in Berlin, and I'm keen on Europe responding to Mr. Trump. We have the trade concerns of the European Union and of France and Germany and other parts of Europe, but we have the national security concerns of Poland. Dateline Brussels. Europe should welcome rather than rebuff U.S. President Donald Trump's call for other NATO members to ramp up their military spending, said Polish Prime Minister Donald Tusk, stressing the importance of security to the continent. Judy, Tusk is not alone in these concerns. The Baltic states join. Romania is frightened. Moldova more than frightened. And all of Europe is aware of the fact that the Ukraine matter is not settled. And even when it is, it's not clear what NATO's role is going forward. Is Tusk by himself here with these remarks? Are others holding back on Mr. Trump's presentation? Because Tusk looks to be getting out front saying Trump has a friend in Warsaw.
Tusk is just not appealing to the Trump administration. He's actually appealing to Europeans that Europe is very, very vulnerable, and that what happens in Ukraine and the outcome of any negotiations, if they take place, will have a huge impact on the security of Europe. And Tusk is actually open enough to say this, and he's courageous enough to say this. Very few other EU leaders actually say this. And now he's trying to galvanize some support in this. Just the first point. Second point is that, I mean, let's not even talk about the cost of 5% of gross domestic product, what this would have on housing and investment, on infrastructure, on schools and everything else. This costs money. War costs money and security costs money. And I think what Tusk is saying is this is what is at stake. But Tusk, being the Prime Minister of Poland, is in the front line. So are the Baltic states. So is Norway, a member of NATO. So is Finland, a member of NATO and the EU. So is Denmark, a member of NATO and the EU. They all see these threats, and they're being very forceful. And I think they will certainly get an ear in the Trump administration. This is not to please Trump, but this is just explain to him, we are ready, and so please listen to us.
German election. Reuters. Kiev. Ukrainian President Zelensky said he met with German opposition leader Friedrich Merz weeks before the federal election. We discussed ways to further advance a just peace, said the president of Ukraine, as well as global challenges and the situation on the front lines. This surprised me because I've understood that Mr. Merz was saying very little, doing very well in the polls, and his ambition so much to be chancellor, he doesn't want to take a position on any particular item, thinking that his non-transparency is a benefit. Is the trip to Kiev him responding in some fashion to criticism from other parts of the electorate?
I think this trip to Kiev is actually quite important. One, to reassure President Zelensky and shore him up a little. Secondly, also, there's an awful lot of CDU people who actually support Zelensky. And the foreign policy network inside the CDU, they've been very vocal over the past 3 or 4 years. And the head of the Foreign Affairs Committee and head of other committees. And I think they're pushing Merz to do this. And I think Merz realizes that he cannot ride the two horses at the same time, you know, this pacifist element. And I don't think he is this. But I think it's only a feeling, and just listening to his speeches and his visits, that he's trying to reassure the Ukrainians that he will continue to support them. Support them on what basis is another issue, whether there's going to be security guarantees or whether Ukraine will join NATO or whether the Germans will actually supply the vital weapons that the Ukrainians need. But he going there is, I don't want to call it symbolic because this is so facile, But you can't go without a kind of shopping list from one side to the other and the other way around, too.
Responding to Mr. Trump is obvious. They were all going to do that vigorously. Have you heard from Mr. Merz or Mr. Schultz or any of the candidates in Germany remarks about Mr. Biden now that he's gone? Relieved, miss him, wish we could have worked more closely together? Anything like that, or have they moved on already?
It's the day after. They have to move on. I mean, they said their goodbyes a few weeks ago, and they knew that Biden wasn't going to win the election in any case, but it's over. Actually, I think there's going to be quite an ambivalence here, because they think that Biden, the Europeans think that Biden wasn't tough enough in terms of dealing with the Middle East. And to use a word, he wasn't transactional enough, like Trump. Trump was saying to Hamas or Israelis, all hell will break loose if you don't do this deal. And it's a very different worldview. The point is that Biden was the last Atlanticist president, and an ideological one based on values and diplomacy and getting on. Whereas this new president under Trump is transactional, which goes against the grain of the kind of ideological values element of the Biden administration and the European Union. And these are the two elements, transactional versus ideological, which will shape the coming relationship between Europe and its other allies and the Americans over the coming months.
Final thought. AfD, Alice Weidel is the head of AfD, and her conversation with Mr. Musk was revelatory. However, has Mr. Musk missed something by linking himself to the AfD, because there is no expectation that AfD will be part of the government? Was that a mistake on his part? We have about a minute.
You can't calculate Musk's mistakes. He's an opportunist. He does what he wants to do. You saw him at the inauguration ceremony. It was extraordinary, actually, his gestures and everything. One cannot second guess what this man is up to. He has an agenda. He wants to make money. He wants to have power. And he wants people in politicians in Europe to support him on this, whether or not they're right wing or far left wing.
Did it do Alice Weidel any good? Did she gain authority because of that conversation?
It's over, that conversation. It's an election campaign now. Musk is out of the picture.
Judy Dempsey of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, senior scholar. Alice Weidel is understood as the head alternative for Deutschland.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,